I cleaned out my left ear with hydrogen peroxide this morning, and it is such a good feeling. Let me tell you something I studied and learned about the ear. There's this fellow on the internet called Webster Kerr, K-E-H-R. He has a website about health and whatnot, and he actually did physics experiments also. He's kind of an all-around guy, and he had a webpage describing the research that some people over in, I believe it was West Germany before the Berlin Wall came down, they discovered the cause of the common cold, because everybody wants to know, what's the cure for the common cold? Well, they found the cause. It's the ear. The ear, it gets infected, or already is. Mine usually stink like a garbage pail. And we touch our ear, stick our finger in ear or whatever, and transfer germs to our mouth, nose, or eyes, and before we know it, we come down with a common cold. That was what they discovered. So the simple solution is clean out the ears with hydrogen peroxide, and you won't have the common cold anymore. Well, it turns out there's another interesting piece of information. Research done down in Australia at Monash University or something like that. I can't remember the name of the university. It might be in Sydney. And they did research concerning the ear and its relationship to mental illness. They discovered that if they put a probe in your ear, electronic probe, to measure, you know, kind of like the EKG, you know, but instead of the heart with patches over the chest, they put that probe in the ear. And they measure signals that the ear sends to the brain and the brain sends to the ear canal. Not the eardrum, you know, we're not looking at audio response. This is just the canal on the outside, the outer canal that they can reach with a probe. And they tilt you in a specially designed chair, you know, kind of like what Air Force pilots go through when they pitch and yaw and whatnot, different directions of changing the body's position in space. Because it's the three little tubes that tell our orientation in space that apparently has something to do with all of this that they were studying. And as they tilt you, your brain and your ear communicate with each other. Well, with 80% accuracy, without knowing anything about you, none of your prior history, no confessional like you normally do with a psychiatrist's office, well, tell me about yourself. How do you feel about your parents? Do your parents love you? You know, look at these inkblot tests and tell me what you see. None of that. They just tilt you in the chair, and based on the response of your ear communicating with your brain and your brain with your ear when they tilt you, 80% accuracy, they can tell you what's wrong with you. Now, it's considered experimental research. It has been around quite a while for it to still be experimental, so I'm pretty sure the psychiatric profession has put up a wall and saying, no way, you're not going to enter normal practice. You're going to remain experimental as far as we're concerned, because it would put them out of business, for one thing. And secondly, it would indemnify, or it would redeem. It would redeem all the people who are incorrectly diagnosed with a mental illness they don't possess, or the wrong one, and bingo, that I would fall under that category. Because I understand. I've been to the Neuropsychiatric Institute in UCLA, and I've met some of the victims of misdiagnosis. Their family just wants to control them, and they didn't break any law, so they can't put them in jail, so they put them in an institution instead and drug them. So I understand the situation. It's a sociological problem. It's not a mental health problem in most cases. In many cases. And the person ends up ill if they weren't ill to begin with, just because, hey, you know, now I got problems I never had before. So it's a very interesting situation. So when I put the hydrogen peroxide in my ear, I don't just do it as a superficial cleaning. I do it because I know I'm going to spend at least half an hour laying on my side with my ear fizzing away and bubbling because of all the feelings of serenity that come over me afterwards when I'm done. Now, I just pick one ear because I learned that from experience that if I try to do two ears, I resent it. And it's for good reason, because usually only one ear needs it. Now, Webster Kerr says do both ears because you're trying to avoid the common cold. Well, I'm not trying to avoid the common cold. I already have that area covered with silver and whatnot. So I don't need that problem solved. I need my mental health solved. And so what I did this morning was, I have this ongoing situation. I was pretty certain of it, and it turned out to be true. My left ear has been having a habit of being infected. It gets, you know, sore and whatnot. So I poked around very gently with a Q-tip swab to see which ear was sensitive. Otherwise, then I would just do a smell job, I guess, and see which one smells worse. I don't know, or flip a coin. Because you really only need to do one ear at a time. It's amazing what just one clean ear can do for sanity's sake. And then I have food-grade hydrogen peroxide, but, you know, store-bought CVS will do, or Walgreens will do just fine, too. But I refrigerate it. I've learned, due to the fact that hydrogen peroxide is a very unstable compound, it's no different than bicarbonated drinks. And even though they put poisonous stabilizers in there, like tin and whatnot, that's why they have to put the poison label on the jar, not because hydrogen peroxide is poisonous. Oh, yeah, it can burn you if it's any stronger than the strength that's sold at Walgreens, but it's not a poison in and of itself. So I refrigerate it when I store it, regardless of which version I have on hand, and I put it in a little, transfer it to a little eyedropper bottle, because you only want the dosage, you know, you only need the amount that's in one eyedropper, which is about half a dropper when it turns out to be, when you draw it up into the dropper, it's not a full dropper anyway. And that's just enough to fill up the ear canal, the outer ear canal. And I lay on my side, and I have a wad of toilet paper handy, because I'll want to, when I'm done, I'll want to turn my head over and let it drain out into the toilet paper, and that will do just fine for draining it out. And not get it on the sheets that I'm sleeping on. Because I don't want to bleach my sheets. And I don't need to do that. And destroy my sheets. My silver laced sheets. My earthing bed sheet. So I lay in bed to do it. Or, you know, couch, whatever. You lay down and relax. Because you're going to be there a long time. Because it takes forever for this stuff to work its way into the inner reaches. You know, coming inward from the outer ear canal, going inward to the deeper recesses inside the ear canal, because it really needs to be cleaned out and cleaned out thoroughly. And there are all kinds of sensations. The very first one is you feel dizzy. At least I do. I feel dizzy. And literally my head feels like it's spinning. And I'm just laying there, and it's spinning. Shows you how badly I need it. But that passes. After about a couple minutes, that passes. And then later on, I might get this awful wiggly sensation, probably because there are little parasitic miniaturized bugs in my ear living there, and they're wiggling to death, and they're tickling my ear hairs like crazy. That's ghastly, uncomfortable, but I have to get through it, get past it. And once I get past it, and then there's just the bubbles rising, tickling too, but that's usually mild when they hit the ear hairs. But when all that calms down after about half an hour or more, you know, I usually enjoy a full hour, actually, when I'm laying there, then it does its thorough job. It's not going to do much better. I drain it out and enjoy the peace, because it's amazing what that can do. Now, just as another side note, the experimental work that was discovered down in Australia, I think it's called something along the lines of encephaloradiography or something, something like that. It's a long term, very long term. They do the testing up in Canada, not just in Australia, but who's going to, you know, travel to Canada or Australia to do something that the psychiatric profession here in the United States won't even admit to. So it would be kind of, you know, how else, a millionaire, right? How else am I going to spend my millions? Oh, I think I'll go up to Canada and have my ears examined and, you know, have them pitch me around in a chair to see what I really suffer from. Because if it was anything, I would guess it's probably obsessive compulsive disorder. That would be my guess. But be that as it may, because Charlie Lutz used to say, everybody's insane on at least one subject. Because that's normal. you know, to be a human being and not insane would be really weird. But to be insane on more than one subject at the same time, that's when they strap on the straitjacket and haul you off. So it only depends how many subjects a person is insane on that differentiates anybody to any extreme degree how badly off you are. Now, in my case, I think when it comes to the subject of God and women, I think I'm insane on both counts. I'm guilty of, if we look at it from a psychological standpoint. But that's the way the psychiatric profession looks at it, from a psychiatric standpoint. They never look at it from a physiological standpoint, which would be a lot more reasonable, because then they'd be more accurate. Anyway, I'm repeating myself. Okay, time to shut up. So I hope you enjoy this recording.